Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66 WFAN, New York.
8:23 on The Fan on a Thursday night. Ed Coleman here. We'll take it till 10 o'clock. The Jets will be kicking off any moment now, okay? So hold your breath. We're going to head out to the West Coast, out to San Diego. This guy's been all over the place, front and center. I've seen him in the background as well, too. But that's, he is one of these 24-hour guys, 24-7. Andy Martino of SNY joins me now. Andy, how are you?
Why you give me too much credit, Eddie? I wish I was 24-7, but I slept through the Porcello news. I was hoping to break it, had a beat on it, and, it was like, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning or something here, and I missed that one. So I'm like 27.
That's good enough.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine, thanks. We're just wrapping up a busy week here. The meetings were nice and active, including, obviously, Gerrit Cole. The big fish was reeled in by the Yankees. So it was back to kind of more exciting offseason business for baseball.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to ask you about the overall thing, because it played out very well. I mean, everyone assumed it would be Cole, Strasburg, and Rendon. At least they hoped that's the way it would go and it would all happen out there. Not that exact order, Strasburg, Cole, flip-flop, but still the three big guys or big fish did go.
They did. And, I mean, when you compare that to last year where it's Machado and Harper signing in spring training, which wasn't good for anybody. It was good for them in that they ultimately got their money. But it just wasn't a good look for the game. And to have these players, some big players sign at the winter meetings, gives baseball a signature event back, and now allows teams to conduct business in a normal pace, right? They
yep.
can
mm-hmm.
now go. Now you turn to the trade market if you missed out on one of these guys. Now the second tier of free agents can start to sign. Like the Yankees were waiting on Brett Gardner to see what happened with Cole.
Yep.
They had the parameters of an agreement in place with Gardner for weeks, but they had to deal with Cole first. So then now they signed Gardner today. And you can get on with business in baseball in the way they were used to, and so that kind of jammed up way that we had last couple of years.
It was interesting. Sweeney and I were doing a show last night, and we were talking to Billy Epler of the Angels, and he wasn't letting on at the time. I think about 3 or 4 hours later, they signed Rendon, and he obviously knew at that point in time. But I had asked him. I said, because they missed out on Cole, I said, is the priority still pitching? And he kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit and kind of talked mm-hmm. around it. But obviously he knew Rendon was coming. But it's interesting. That's a great lineup that they have there, but they still need pitching.
They do need pitching. Maybe Jay Happ can be somebody from a New York interest point that can help them. The Yankees willing to move Happ now. Angels need to do more than that. But you're right. They wasted enough years in Mike Trout's prime. And now they have this really good offense, like you said. So they do not have the pitching, I don't think, to capitalize on that yet. And that's tough to assemble in one season, in one off season. They tried last year. They gave Matt Harvey $11 million. That worked out great. Now they're going to get back to the drawing board on that for sure. Right now, it's hard out of the American League to imagine. You never know what's going to happen, but to imagine anybody with the Yankees right now with the team they had and then taking Cole from the Astros, they're a pretty good position.
No question. Andy Martino in San Diego at the winter meetings. He'll be heading home. It's wrapping up, I guess, out there. A few last-minute details here today. I wanted to ask you this with Cole coming aboard, and I don't know James Paxton well, but I wondered, mm-hmm. in your mind, how much Cole's addition helps Paxton to just, bump him down, just say even 1A, if you want to call him 1A, just making that little, jump down, how that might relax him and make him a better pitcher here in New York.
I actually thought, Ed, that Paxton, and I was around him, got to know him a little bit this past year, I thought he adjusted in New York well. He's definitely not Sonny Gray. He's a real mild-mannered guy. typical, you know, remember Jason Bay is the polite Canadian. Paxton's very much in that mold. He's more of a bulldog when he's on the mound, and his struggle at the beginning of the season was more about he just wasn't throwing his knuckle curve as much as he had in the past. And the Yankees analytics people actually kind of went around Larry Rothschild, which maybe foreshadowed what happened to Larry Rothschild later, and told Paxton, you got to throw that curveball more. I remember the game. It was a game against the Red Sox when he started doing it, and then all of a sudden he took off in the second half, and he was like a 1-1A, really a top guy. Yep. And then when the Yankees were facing elimination at home in Game 5 of the ALCS, Paxton really pitched his butt off.
And, yeah, he did.
Kept the team alive. So I think he's that guy. I actually think he's earned his way into that core. Now, where the – and it doesn't need – to your question, I don't think he's a personality that needs that kind of protection.
Okay.
It's nice that they have it. But I thought he was maybe underrated that way this past season. Now, where this Cole contract does help Paxton is – if Garrett Cole's worth $324 million, Paxton, now he's looking at well into over 100. And yep. He's a free agent, of course, after this season.
Right.
By the Yankees, I try to see if I can lock him up now and see what it would take. Because he's proven his mettle in New York. I know he's hurt a lot, and he's a little older, so he's not going to be as expensive. But, you know, Strasburg, Cole getting this kind of money. Paxton's actually, if he just has a decent season, going to get very, very rich.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, no question. Not a bad idea. There are always curveballs coming from the Mets, and they signed Michael Wacha, and then Rick Porcello is aboard. Now, I happen to like if they need depth. I don't care where the depth is. Starting pitching, bullpen, they need it both in both places. But what's your thoughts on that and what they might be up to at this point in time?
Well, I think it was an interesting shift for them from the GM meetings in November to now going after starters, because a couple of weeks ago it was more you were hearing Daniel Hudson, Dylan Betances, and they need bullpen. We know it's logical because, obviously, in a world where Diaz and Familia are just decent, and that's probably in the playoffs. So it stands to reason they pick up a couple of relievers, add them to the roster, and it might be in pretty good shape. But I think the problem was, payroll-wise, they were getting up against the luxury tax really close. And in this case, people talk about Mets spending. In this case, it was actually, to me, more not that the Mets haven't spent lately, but that they've spent poorly. So they're weighed down by the bad decision on Familia, the bad decision on Lowry, and coming up against luxury tax. So when you look at having to be really careful about where you put your money, and if Blake Treinen got $10 million, Rick Porcello got $10 million, well, you know what? That's 60 innings versus 180 innings, say, for that same $10 million, right? Think about building out the staff, and I get why they shifted the starters, but, you know, now Lugo gets to stay in the bullpen, Selman gets to stay in the bullpen, but if they don't bring anybody in, and it's not looking great for that, it's you know, they still, you sure are banking on Diaz a lot, and obviously nobody feels great about that until he shows otherwise.
You know, the buzz on Dylan Betances right now is that the Dodgers are hot after him, I think, at this point in time. Treinen is already there. Those are two guys that I thought about for the Mets. I didn't know what they would cost. But it's interesting. I mean, from what I can glean, because they really didn't weigh in on either of them, at least that I know of, it seems like they're entrusting the bullpen to bounce back years, and if you brought in Treinen and Betances as well, that's another couple of guys to bounce back from, and you have four or five guys out there all trying to bounce back at the same time. So maybe they didn't want to go down that road, you know?
Right. Yeah, they could use that. I agree, and that's the way it seemed. I was hearing they were on those guys, but then I think it just came down to like what I was saying about the money, where they're tight.
Right.
So if you got $10 million, you would love to get Porcello and Betances. Obviously, that's better. But I think they just had to make a choice.
Right.
Right now, as we stand right now, they're actually a little over the luxury tax. So that's why they're moving hard. They're working hard to move Lowry. Obviously, you'd move Familia if you could. There's still more to do there. They needed starting depth. They needed bullpen depth. As it turned out, it seemed like they had to choose.
How about Starling Marte? Still in play for them if they can work something around?
Yes, going to play. I don't think they're probably ultimately going to be the team on Marte because I heard that the Pirates, with the message memo, the Pirates are not in a place where you need a guy with 3 years of control, I believe Nemo has left. They want prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Mets are obviously thinner there than they were. And so I just don't know if that's a fit, but the Mets were working on it this week. And it's not that they're real hopeful on it, but it's not dead either. So after they signed Jake Marisnik, I kind of thought, okay, that takes care of center field. And
yeah.
I was surprised to find once we got here that they were still working on Marte. But just like with, so they were also working a little bit on Carlos Correa, probably mm-hmm. other people that I haven't, and no one else in the media has heard about yet. But Brody's working on a lot of things, but I don't know how optimistic he'll be at this point any of those things actually gets done.
Yeah, that's well, that's Brody's MO. He will go everywhere and do a lot of work and do a lot of digging on that. I think you were the guy who had the Carlos Correa thing.
Yeah.
And I guess it was kind of cursory, but he wanted to float that and see where they were or where the Astros were at that point in time on him.
Yeah, well, it turned out, you know, there's a Ken Rosenthal story about how the Astros might need to trade Correa.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so even though a story came out that Jeff Luhnow, the GM, did call Correa and say he was probably staying put, I would say that, you know, when Jeff Luhnow or anyone in the Astros said something, it must be true because it's the most ethical organization in baseball, right? So I didn't really take too much seriously when I read that. So the Mets, there was word going on yesterday that the Mets had more than called, that there was some dialogue between the sides with Correa. But, as I said when I reported at the time, not imminent. I don't know how serious, but.
Right.
You know what? The Cano thing wasn't serious until it was all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this goes in that direction, but it's a path that Brody went down. The thing about Correa is he's pretty cheap still for the next couple
yeah.
of years.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yep.
So it fits the idea of a splash without needing to go crazy on the payroll. Now, also, though, the prospect cost would be tremendous. The player cost, I don't even know if they have enough. You'd be talking about. Obviously, Rosario, shortstop for shortstop. Then you get into every decent prospect you have in the system, probably two or three deep. You try to attach the Lowry contract. Now, deals like that get pretty complex. And if Correa really does become available, other teams might have better prospects to throw at them. But like you said with Brody and his MO, I learned quickly with him that in the Alderson era, it was, you hear something about Carlos Correa and you go, yeah, Sandy's not doing that.
Right.
But you know that Brody's at least going to make sure that it's not possible.
No question. We're almost out of time, but I have to ask you about the elephant in the room, and that's Cespedes, and where the Mets are on him, with him. Does he go away? Is he going to be part of things? What do you hear at this point in time?
Well, every time the Mets talk about their outfield, they're certainly not talking about him. They're not planning on it.
Right.
Everything about what's going to happen with Nemo, what's Marisnik's role going to be, what Conforto's going to be in right, there's nothing about Cespedes. There was that video of him hitting, which were in order to take, you know, that Andy Chavez put out and then quickly took down.
Yeah.
That showed that he still got, you know, in order to take live BP, you've got to have some lower half strength and some ability to have that torque. And so he's coming along, obviously, and now we hear that he's running. So we'll see. I think it comes down to just going to Cespedes and just want to play baseball ever again. Because if he does, he's got to earn the next contract.
Mm-hmm.
It could be inconvenient for the Mets, who have a lot of outfielders and don't necessarily need to worry about a hobbled Cespedes or an older Cespedes.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably rather at this point take the insurance money than pay a diminished Cespedes, but he may be motivated to come back, so we'll see what happens. That actually could be awkward.
It could be, yeah. I hope they have a locker for him at least down there when he comes down from Vero Beach to show up, because I have a feeling he will be there. That's
Oh, yeah, it seems if he's running, if we're getting those kind of updates,
right.
And he's hitting down there, you're right, it shows you that he's ready to show. I wouldn't know. Look, he's a different guy. You know it's better than I do. Spend more time around him than I have. You could just imagine Cespedes being like, yeah, I'm good on my ranch. I made $100 million. I'm done.
It's possible.
But
yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's going that way.
No, I think he might give it one more try to milk a few more years down the line, too. We'll see.
Yeah.
When you come back tomorrow?
I'm flying back tomorrow morning and then ready to enjoy the holidays a little bit.
I don't blame you. All right, good stuff out there, Andy. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time, all right? See you when you get
Anytime,
back.
Anytime, Ed.
You got it. Andy Martino of SNY out at the winter meetings in San Diego. A little update on what's going on. It's been quieting down out there. We'll get back to the phones, 877-337-6666. Jets already down 7-0. Hey, there we go. We're back after this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!